Proverbs 11, verses 9 to 13, as we continue on in this book that is designed to give us the wisdom of God. And we're certainly going to look at a theme tonight that will reoccur several times from here on out in the book of Proverbs. But we're going to look at it tonight because there's a block of verses that basically deal with the same subject. So let's bow and look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the word and for those who've come out to partake of it tonight. We pray that you will use this word to minister to our minds and hearts and impart to us thy wisdom. And for that, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. There's no question in my mind that more problems have been started by what people say than any other thing that has ever caused a problem. Wars have been started by things that people say. There's no question that what a person says can make an impact and a difference in world affairs. It can make a difference in society. It can make a difference in a legal setting. It can make a difference with a salesman. Just exactly how a salesman talks and what a salesman says can be the difference between getting a sale or not getting a sale. And it certainly is that which makes a difference when it comes to politics. There's no question that there's tremendous pressure every time there's an election. When those debates take place, the pressure's on those politicians because they have to speak and they have to say things, and there will be judgments made based upon what they say. It's no different when it comes to God, righteousness, or wisdom. A person can be wise in speech, or a poor person can be a fool in speech, and God takes a notice of speech. There's absolutely no doubt in this book of Proverbs that God wants us clearly to understand that I monitor what a person says. I listen. My ears are tuned in to how a person is using his or her mouth. Now, Solomon wanted people to understand that God takes their speech very seriously. He closely listens to what's being spoken. A person can talk all he wants all day long, and a person can absolutely be very foolish in the sight of God, or a person can use very little language and be very wise in the sight of God. Now, every one of us here will get up tomorrow and go somewhere or do something, and we will have the opportunity tomorrow to use our speech in a way that is wise or use it in a way that is foolish. We have the potential of using our speech to encourage and admonish and exhort. We also have the capacity to use our speech to destroy. It'll go one way or the other. We'll either use our speech tomorrow in a wise way or in the way of a fool. And that's exactly what Solomon's talking about when you come to this section of Scripture. In Proverbs chapter 11, verses 9 to 13, the thesis is not hard to see. Our righteousness, our wisdom, our intelligence is determined by our speech. That's the way God views it. In other words, God's going to monitor what we say. He's going to monitor how we talk. He's going to monitor what we're saying in front of people. He's going to monitor what we're saying behind the scenes. And powerful, wise people of God are powerfully in control of what they're saying at all times. They are people who very carefully govern their mouth. They very carefully are monitoring what they say and to whom they say it. Our speech is either moving us in a way of wisdom, or our speech is either moving us in a way of a fool. We are moving in one direction or the other with what we say, either the wise way of God or a wicked fool. And our speech is that which determines which way we are moving. Now, there are four determining speech factors that Solomon brings out in this section of Scripture tonight. Speech factor number one, our speech destroys or delivers. Notice verse 9. With his mouth, the godless man destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. Now, this is an interesting portion of Scripture. It's an interesting principle. The person will have an influence by what he says on those who are close to him. A person will influence others in a way that is either positive and right or a way that is wicked and foolish. That's the point of this. The word neighbor is a word that refers to someone that's very close to him. It doesn't necessarily mean geographically. It can be any person to whom this is a companion or a close friend. Now, there is a prayer that Isaiah made that I think is just so profound. Flip over to Isaiah chapter 50 for a moment. This is just an interesting statement or observation that Isaiah makes. Isaiah chapter 50. And I want you to see what he said in verse 4. And he said the Lord had done this for him. He says in Isaiah 50 and verse 4, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word." Isaiah believed that the mark of wisdom was to have speech that could actually point people in the way of truth, speech that could actually point people in the way of freedom in light of the Scriptures. That's the mark of wisdom, to be able to use our speech that way. Now, the speech of a person who's defiled, a speech of a person who's wicked, destroys people. And the word destroy is a word that refers to tears people down. I mean, that's what this proverb is saying. A righteous, a godless man destroys his neighbor. A godless person is one that will completely destroy and not build up, but will continually tear down any person who's close to him. A hypocrite will use his mouth to tear down beautiful people, beautiful relationships, beautiful organizations. Dr. McGee said, this kind of person is the kind of person who pretends to be your friend, but when your back is turned, this person will verbally stab you in the back. Now, this kind of person will do things for no reason. They're just evil. They're wicked in what they're doing. And it's not saying that there aren't times when you need to confront somebody. There are times. And there are right ways to handle that. There are times when things need to be addressed. But this is talking about someone who's just diabolical in the work they do continually behind a person's back. On the other hand, you have the speech of a person who is a righteous person, and this righteous person is going to use his speech to deliver others. This righteous person is going to use his speech to help set people free, to help point them on the right path, to help govern them in a right way. The antithetic picture implied in the context is that the wicked person runs something down with his words. He's always putting others down, whereas the righteous person communicates the true things of God, and the true things of God ultimately will build up a person so that they might be free. Now, what's said there, through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. The implication is that a person who is wise is very knowledgeable of the word, so that in different situations and circumstances, the wise person is able to communicate what the Word of God says, what the Word of God actually teaches. That's the thing that builds people up. So obviously, the more knowledge we have of the Word, the more we're taking in the Word of God, the more we're able to deliver ourselves and deliver other people through our communication. We're able to teach them the truth. We're able to speak, as Peter said, as of the oracles of God. We're able to point them in the ways that are right and righteous in the sight of God. On the other hand, the less knowledge we have of the Word, the more we're able to destroy ourselves and those closest to us. You see, that's critical. But through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. So a wicked person, a godless person, doesn't have knowledge but just likes to talk. This person just likes to shoot off his mouth. Whether or not it's even true, whether or not it's even sound, it doesn't matter. This person just wants to talk, and ultimately what he's doing is destroying other people. A number of years ago, I knew a karate instructor who said the most dangerous person that he had in his class was somebody that had been in just a couple of classes. Because he said they thought they really knew something, and he said those were the kinds of people that could go out there and really get themselves in trouble and get themselves hurt. He says the people that were actually experienced in the martial arts, they really didn't try to prove anything. They didn't think they had to prove anything. They usually kept their mouths shut about what they knew and what they could do. This kind of person here is dangerous. The person who knows a little bit of Bible but really doesn't know much about it, to be at a knowledgeable level, but they're always talking and always shooting off their mouths, they can lead people in a very destructive way. They're not pointing them in the right, true, free paths of the Word of God. On the other hand, the righteous person who has knowledge will use his speech to deliver someone. Now, tomorrow, you're going to go into your world, and I'll go into mine. You're going to use your speech. I'm going to use my speech one way or another. I mean, we're either going to use it as a wise person, and we'll try to share what's right and true and sound and good and honest, or we'll use it like a fool. Let's choose to use it as a wise person. That's what Solomon wants in this proverb. The second speech factor is our speech in life affects many people. Notice verse 10. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there is joyful shouting. By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is torn down. One commentator said these two verses describe very succinctly David and Saul. David was a man who built up Israel. Saul was a man who tore it down. And he said a lot of them did things with their speech. Verse 10 is a picture of an entire city rejoicing when things are going well for the righteous. The entire city is upbeat. The entire city is full of joy when the wicked are being destroyed or cut off or cut out. Kyle and Daly point out in their commentary that this is closely connected to verse 10, and verse 11 is closely connected to verse 10. It gives us more of a detailed information on how the society is affected by a righteous person. When a righteous person who uses his mouth in a wise way is at the helm, the city rejoices. They're hearing wonderful things. They're hearing true things. They're hearing things that'll set them free. They're learning. They're growing. A city is more exalted. A city is actually stands to be blessed of God when you have someone in the helm that's leading it in the right, true, pure ways of God. A city becomes more exalted, more lofty, more powerful if upright, godly, wise people are praying for it and leading it. By the same token, the proverb says that the verbal assaults of a wicked also can influence people. And they can tear a city down. They can destroy it. They can break it down in a hurry. Bad people can use their mouths in ways that can bring quick deterioration, whether it be to a company, a society, a home, or a church. The truth of the matter is, people can use their mouths to bring devastation to it. And the wicked people in the society will always be using their speech to tear it down, whereas the righteous people in the society will be using their speech to try to build it up, and certainly using some of their speech to pray for it. That's one thing that Paul stressed over and over again in the New Testament. He said, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty." So one of the things wise people will be doing with their speech is they'll be praying for it. I'll tell you, it's true. When wise people are helping build up the organization, it's just a joy, fun place to be around. But when you get a bunch of people that's always tearing down the society, it's miserable. It's going on behind the backs. It's zapping the life out of the organization. I've seen that in churches where people behind the scenes, instead of building up and being happy and excited about what God's doing and about the things they have, there's just this whole negative thing that's going on behind the scenes, this undercurrent that's just ripping things to shreds. Well, the person who's doing that is not wise from God's perspective. Now, the third factor of speech is our speech control determines our wisdom or wickedness. Look at verse 12. "He who despises his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding keeps silent." I am convinced that Solomon learned a lot of the things he knew about God and about wisdom from his father David. And this principle, I guarantee you, he learned from his father David, because go back to Psalm 141 just a moment. Psalm 141. This was a prayer of David. And this was a wise, wise prayer that he obviously taught his son Solomon. In Psalm 141 and verse 3, David said to the Lord, "God, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." David wanted God to carefully monitor what he said and actually control what he said. He wanted God to have total control over the way he spoke. And what we say about other people has a great bearing on whether or not we're wise or foolish. This is a verse which pictures a person's relationship to those closest to him. A person who does not have wisdom despises his neighbor for no reason. The person hasn't done anything to wrong the neighbor. The person hasn't done anything to cause conflict or problems. A person who's a fool just despises this person. He verbally tears and tramples this person down. There's no cause for it. He's just a fool, and that's what he does. The word wisdom speaks of an intelligent life in the mind. And the word despise, when he says that he who despises his neighbor speaks of verbally assaulting a neighbor for no reason. That's the way a fool lives life. For no reason, just goes on verbal diatribes against people. They can't control what they say. They can't stop talking negatively about people, and there's no reason for the attack. They just like to open their mouths. On the other hand, a person of wisdom, a person of understanding, doesn't operate that way. A person of understanding is not prone to have verbal explosions. A person of understanding is prone to hold his peace. What that means is that a person who has knowledge and wisdom is a person who realizes there are times when silence is golden. And there's no question that those who are closest to us can tell us whether or not we are really in the vein of wisdom or the vein of a fool. Our mates can tell us whether we're on a path of wisdom or stupidity. They can testify what we're really like. If they're put on trial, they can determine and they can give true testimony as to whether or not this is one who carefully guards what he says, this is one who carefully guards when he says it, or this is one that just pops off his mouth and will say anything at any time. Doesn't matter who he hurts or what he says. I mean, they're in position to analyze that, but more importantly, so is God. And a wise person understands this. And a wise person is very careful in patterns of speech. Which brings us to the fourth factor. Our silence determines our faithfulness or wickedness. Look at verse 13. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who's trustworthy conceals a matter. I read an account of a man who went, when J.D. Rockefeller was alive, to his home in Florida. And J.D. Rockefeller, on a mantle, had a huge mounted fish with its mouth open. And this man who saw it said it was absolutely gorgeous. But he said, what really struck me was the sign that J.D. Rockefeller had under that fish. He said the sign read, "If you had kept your mouth shut, you would not be here." And when you think about that, there's so much wisdom in that simple statement. There are so many people that wouldn't be in messes if they'd keep their mouth shut. They'd stay out of trouble if they could just learn to keep quiet. Now, our wisdom or our wickedness is determined by our ability to keep quiet. And that word secret is a word which refers to something which is told to a person in a very intimate and private setting. It would be like, for example, something told to you in a very intimate moment by someone, like a dinner party. They trust you, they have confidence in you, they tell you this and they expect you to keep a confidence, and then you turn around and you start blabbing the people what they told you. That's a fool. That's a very foolish thing to do. But a wise person is a person who can be trusted. And the person who's told something in confidence is something that is a very wise person. Now, that word talebearer is a word that refers to a person who goes around slandering people. I mean, this is a word that refers to one who peddled gossip as a merchant would peddle merchandise. And when he says in verse 13 there that the talebearer reveals secrets, the idea behind that word reveal is lay them open, lay them out. It doesn't matter how secret the matter was, just tell it all. Let anybody hear who wants to listen. That's what a fool does. He, she will open his mouth and just tell all because they think perhaps it's going to be something that's going to earn them some type of favor with the person to whom they're talking. But frankly, a talebearer, according to God, is nothing more than a wicked gossip. And in sharp contrast to that, you have that antithetic clause in verse 12, but he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. That word trustworthy is an interesting Hebrew word. It means that one who can be leaned on for support. In other words, there are people that you can have confidence in, you can trust, and you can share intimate things with them. They're not talebearers. There are people who can be trusted. They will be people who will keep confidences, and what you tell them in confidence will stay in confidence. Now, I believe I believe that is absolutely a necessity when it comes to ministry. There must be confidentiality and privacy that must be protected. Sometimes partial truth must be shared, but not all details must be shared. When truth has to be shared, just enough truth has to be shared to establish fact. But the truth of the matter is, there are confidences that should never be broken, and people should have a right to understand that these are people that I can trust. These are wise people. They will not violate my confidence. If I go in and share with them, they are people who will love me and they will protect me. And here's what it says. A faithful person will conceal the intimate details. In other words, he covers over all the details. He doesn't expose everything. A faithful person knows how to keep his mouth shut. At times when things need to be shared, those will be shared. We're seeing that in other passages of Scripture. There are times and places for doing that. On the other hand, there is not a place for bringing out all the intimate, dark details for everybody else to know. George Lawson, who wrote a very fine commentary on the book of Proverbs, said, if you get around a person and discover that they enjoy telling intimate details of other people, you can be sure that if you make that person your friend, they're going to do the same to you. If you have confidence in them and you try to snuggle up next to one who's a talebearer, who's a wicked gossip, sooner or later that'll turn on you and they'll do exactly the same thing to you. Lawson goes on to say that there are times when it's absolutely right to reveal certain parts of secrets. But when it's time to do that, it's to be done biblically. And it's to be done in a right, decent way, and to do it in any other way is making a sad, serious, foolish mistake. Now let me ask you a question tonight. If someone were to need to talk to someone, to talk to you tonight because they had something very personal and confidential that they need to talk to you about because they want your help and guidance, could you be counted on to keep your mouth shut? Could you be counted on? Could you be trusted that it would not go any further? You'd bear the person up in prayer. You'd minister to them the best that you could. You would do your best not to betray the confidence. Look, that's what we want to be, that kind of person. That's the wise person. That's certainly what God wants us to be. God is not pleased with tale bearers. Fact of the matter is, wicked gossips from God's perspective are mental morons. They're wicked idiots. And that's the language he actually uses in Scripture to describe these kinds of people. They're always gossiping. They always have something to say. It's always done dirty behind people's backs. It's never done to their faces. They don't have enough integrity to look someone in the eye and tell them the truth. Now look, these are wisdom principles here. These are real life ways that we can check ourselves and we can see whether or not we're on a path of wisdom or the path of a fool. We can take an exam by these verses. I mean, we can actually look at these verses and say, you know, I'm on a path of wisdom. Or you can look at those verses and say, I'm not on that path. I'm a path of a fool. Well, the book of Proverbs is designed to straighten out foolish people. The book of Proverbs is designed to take us whatever level we're at, whether it be at a foolish level or a naive level, or whether it be at a wise level, it's designed to take us to a further wise level. So may we all purpose tonight in looking at this passage to be very careful in what we say. And let us start here tonight. Very, very careful in what we say. And may God help every single one of us to move in a direction that is wise, and not in a direction that is that of a fool. Any questions or comments about this passage tonight?